Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 120, part 2, A Love Better Than Wine. Today is Sunday, November 8th, 2009. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. You know, Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. If you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you are a senior 60 years and older, or disabled with proof, be sure to call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org, where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community, and at the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join our online community. You can also leave a comment, ask a question, make a suggestion, or write a testimony at Pastor Paul's blog, where you will find the show notes to the podcast. You can also email me, Janine@pastorpaul.org. And in the show notes, you're going to find scripture links to those scriptures that Pastor Paul uses within his message. Be sure to join us every Friday and Sunday for part one and part two of Pastor Paul's weekly podcast. Have a great month of November, starting it off on All Saints Day, November 1st. These are the messages that you will hear this month on Pastor Paul's podcast. A love better than wine. Our instincts need purifying. Old things and new things. And old and new side by side. So there you have it. The month of November will prove to be the best yet. God bless you and have a great month.
To Solomon here, he gathered together for himself all manner of pleasant things. Here in Ecclesiastes, he lists them. I made me great works. That's how he starts out. I builded houses. I planted vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees of all kinds and all kinds of fruit on them. And the people are shaking their head. Yeah, wow. And I made pools of water. And he's standing on this veranda type thing, pointing all these things out. These pools of water there with wood that bringeth forth trees. And oh, look at this. And I got servants and maidens and had servants born in mine house. I also had great possessions and no small cattle above all of what Jerusalem had. And these people are there. Wow. Ooh. Huh? Now I gathered before me silver and gold and all peculiar kind of treasure of kings and provinces. You know, they do have peculiar wealth sometimes. And I got me men singers and women singers and delights of sons of men. and of musical instruments and that of all sorts. And he says, but you know what the verdict concerning all of this? Behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit. It's just something to weight me down. Something more to think about. Sometimes that's where we're at, isn't it? Huh? Getting weighted down. Wake up, brother. Preacher, don't allow no sleeping going on in here. I could sing that song. I ain't going to do it. How many here in this message? Woo! Are you hearing it? Are you hearing it? But he that delights in himself and in the love of Christ, are you hearing it? Will tell you each and every time there is no vanity and there is no vexation of spirit, none whatsoever. None. Now, maybe you're listening on the radio and you do not want to be delivered. You want to turn the radio up. You refuse it. You don't like the preaching. Well, turn it off then. Say amen, somebody. But until that we understand, glory to God, that Jesus Christ is all in all, and we give up that rebellious spirit that says, no, I will not receive. You won't receive. And you'll be bound up, oh, so bound up, and you could be such a beautiful vessel for God, but you're always bound up. One thing gets solved, and then you're bound up with another thing. Somebody's starting to get free, I hope. Say amen, somebody. There is nothing in the Lord Jesus Christ that we could wish to have taken away from him. There is nothing in his love that is impure. Nothing. Nothing that is unsatisfactory. Nothing. I mean, our precious Lord is comparable beyond all precious golds and metals. There is no alloy in him. There is nothing to compare him with. Sometimes we try to compare Jesus. We compare him when we say, I'd rather have this than Christ. We make decisions all day long like that. We compare him with an object. Oh, well, the object of my affection is to turn my direction from Christ unto this car, or this, or that, or this, or that. And so we make comparisons by making a choice. Maybe you choose to be in the glum crowd. Glum? Have you ever seen the glummers? They're glum. The other day I was talking, I was with Janine, and I said, now, notice the way that person's chewing their gum. And it'll tell you a whole lot about the person. I said, I don't want that one to wait on me. And there was another one that was free chewer. Not a lot of brains, but, huh? Oh, I tell you, there's a whole lot in our facial expressions that give us away every day. Say amen, somebody. You can always tell the spirit a person is in. Can't you? That spirit comes right out. They call it the eye is the mirror of the soul. It's the whole face. You ever seen this one? And this is pronounced, but I mean, if you're in the spirit, you can see it. That's the spirit. Well, did you ever have that spirit? You better believe I've had that spirit. And I just want to shake him up. Oh, that's better. Say amen, somebody. There's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on. I think we need to shake ourselves. Oh, glory to God. Isn't this wonderful? The love of God is right here today for you, if you want it. Such is the love of God to His people. Without anything of any imperfection needing to be removed, nothing. But also the love of Christ too, blessed be His name, is better than wine because it never will turn sour. Now in certain stages of development of wine, and under certain conditions, now I know a whole lot about wine because I was a wine bibber. The sweet ferments in the service, we used to make that stuff out of potatoes and anything we could get a hold of. The sweet ferments are influenced by some outside force, and vinegar is formed instead of wine. And isn't that the way it is with people? Something comes into the relationship. God is causing a new wine. Do you understand? And this new wine is forming, but there's some imperfection that's allowed to enter in, and it turns to vinegar, and it turns sour. And so you have a whole lot of sour marriages. You ever seen a sour marriage? Let me tell you, a sour marriage stinks. It's like sour sweat socks. Gag, huh? Okay, that's the feeling I want to get. Gag on it if you have to. But it turns sour. I mean, it is vinegar. How many are hearing this? And how many on the radio are sitting there with vinegary lips? Huh? I mean vinegar. And you go to kiss each other and your lips are all tight. See, your noses are sticking out, so you got to protrude your lips. It's kind of trouble, you know what I mean? You get tight-lipped, you're in trouble. You can't. Say amen. I notice a lot of people puffing their lips out now. Practice that. Practice that. Pooch them. Come on, pooch them! It'll strain some of your lips. Muscles that haven't been used, they'll go out so far and they'll fall down. No muscle support, that's the problem, see. See, when you have a message like this, you got to have a little bit of humor in it because people are laying all over the floor dying, kicking, gasping for air. Wishing they never came. Oh, God, I hate that man. Oh, yeah, how'd you like to come up here and do what I'm doing right now? Just sit around and tell them the truth. Are you hearing this today? Vinegary things are going on in the house of God too, aren't they? Are you hearing it? Maybe you're in a marriage that's been going on for years and years and years and years and years. Oh God. Take me! Do you think your deliverance is deliverance from that person? No, that's a deliverance from yourself. Oh Lord, it's me standing in need of prayer. That's an honest man. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Huh? Pastor Paul, you mean you stand in the need of prayer? I stand in the need of prayer in a bed in the middle of the night sometimes. In the bed. Now, if I was to do that, I would be standing in the need of prayer, wouldn't I? Are you in the need of prayer today? Are you hearing this? Is it turning sour? Sometimes they go down these wine cellars and they pull out these, 1854, that was a very good year. And they pull out the vino, 1854, this was a very good year. And they pull out the bottle. And they read it like it's some kind of a great discovery from the Egyptian, whatever's out there someplace. And I don't know all those historical things, but one of them great big old mummy casket type things, you know. And they blow it off, and they just make a great big thing out of it, and they come over, and they say, this vino was married to this bottle in 1854. And they chill it, and they get it all ready. And they open it up, and it's out in the light now. It's been down in this dark cellar, and everybody thinks it's a great thing, see. But when they open it up, they open up a stink. Boy, is it quiet in here. Boy, is it quiet on the radio. You folks ain't saying nothing. Why is that? Are you Vino 1854? And oh yeah, it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer, oh it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. But you see, Christ's love cannot be influenced from without. We always chill in our love. We complain and we wander and we become vinegary. And we bring home new loves from money to lust and back again. But the love of God continues on and on and on and on and on. It is truly, oh God, it is truly better than wine. Any of the wine cases and any of the wine types of things in this old world, it is truly greater than any of those things. But also, Christ's love is greater than wine because it produces no ill effects. There's a whole lot of mighty men that have fallen from the dregs of wine. But who was ever slain by the love of Christ? Well, you might swoon under his love. And I know they say slain in the spirit, but it's a swooning in the spirit. It's actually what it is. You swoon in the spirit. I ain't going to debate that, though. If you want to say slain, say slain. It's swoon. How many are hearing it? Oh. If it really was slain, would you get up and be slain? No. You'll get up and swoon under the Spirit. Say amen. Oh, and then Christ's love produces a very holy exhilaration. At times it makes you say like Paul, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. One time I was driving along, I was fresh saved, and I was down in Camden area, and I was going through there, and I says, God, I want to experience your love by blood. That's the kind of guy I was. I want it! And I did that for weeks and weeks and weeks, and all of a sudden there was something in the car with me. And I thought, I'm not going to look over there, and I'm not even going to peek out of the corner of my eye, but I think it's me beside myself. I think me got out of me and it's beside me. Or maybe it's an angel. Maybe it's God, but I'm not going to look over there. And a tremendous flow of the Holy Ghost came into the car, and there was such a pressure in the car that I cried out, "Stop!" I did. And cars stopped for a 4 or 5 block area. The love of God was so great that, you see, it would have crushed me in the state that I'm in right now. And I came home and I told Janice, I have experienced the love of God. And I told her what had happened. I've never had that experience since. That's what the love of God is. It's like when you take your little one and you don't know how to express it. Sometimes you get to over-kissing and over-hugging, and you know what I mean. Sometimes you wake the kid up so you can hug him. Kick the leg a little bit. I used to do that. Debbie or Julie or Cheryl or Steve, I'd go in there. Don't wake him up. Now I go. Steve was a sound sleeper. Just so I could give them a hug. Just so they could put their arms around my neck. And then whenever I took them out in the truck, I'd always make them stand up in the seat and put their arm around my neck. See? Ain't that selfish? Stand up! Put your arm around my neck! Wake up! Time to hug Daddy! That kid would be crying, "Aah! I don't want to hug Daddy!" See, they're just sinners saved by grace. They look fine when they're sleeping. Well, get them up. Now you're in trouble. Oh, I felt that wonderful experience of God's love. Oh, it's a perfect peace. And it's a perfect harmony and a perfect joy. Oh, God, it's so wonderful. You never know when it's going to come on. We're standing with all these dignitaries. And this is 4 or 5 weeks back over in St. Paul. And like I said, Friday night, but this wasn't that time. But I was there and I was feeling like a beetle. You know what a beetle looks like? I was a beetle with a suit on. And then I felt pretty good because God gave me a peek at the rest of the guys, and they were all beetles too, with suits on. They're all scurrying for their little cracks in the floor too. They didn't know what they were talking about, the same as I didn't know. It always comes to me, this scripture, be careful when you think you know something, know nothing at all, because you don't know it as you should. We don't know anything. That's the truth about it. But secondly, Christ's love is better than wine because of what it is not. Let's go on to Christ's love, better than wine, because what it is. In the East, they use their wine for medicine. You remember the Samaritan that was come along, and there was a man in the road, and he put oil and wine into his wounds. Oil and wine into his wounds. And I thought, oh, but the love of God, the wine of the Holy Spirit and the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the blood of Christ, and the oil of the Holy Ghost, what a healing goes on in the body and in the mind and through every fiber of your being. And what a healing that is. What a medicine. Complete forgiveness. Total salvation. Wine made by man, that can't mend a broken heart. But the wine of the Spirit can. Did you ever have a broken heart? Broken. I mean, really broken? Huh? I had one when my teacher left. Remember the one that was pregnant and I was loving? It broke my heart. You walked out on me. I went into about a 20-day depression. I was only, like I say, 13, 14 years old. What I'm trying to bring about here is that there are such as things as broken hearts, and God can heal them. And if you're listening on the radio to this tape and you got a broken heart, God can heal it. Maybe you're a young man and you had a broken heart. Maybe somebody took off with your true love. Well, that could be the best thing, buddy, that ever happened to you. And I'm talking to somebody in here today. Maybe you got jilted. Ah, good. You needed a good jilt. Didn't think it could happen to you? And it did. Now you're humbled. Well, don't get into the melancholy and walk down the oh, poor lonesome me road. I mean, just go on. God's got something better for you anyway. God knows the names of your children. Aren't you glad you didn't get hooked up? Someone on the radio receiving right now. Someone with a heartache. Someone with a broken heart. Well, if you don't have one, it's hard to relate to that, isn't it? Well, if you've ever had a broken heart, you can relate with that person. But you can also relate Christ to that person and say, hey, start praising God in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. God's got something better for you. Are you hearing this today? And so stop wishing that you were back there and you took the road with Billy Boo instead of Tommy O 20 years ago. I also read that wine was associated back then with strength. Well, I don't know about that, but I know the love of Christ always has given me strength. Strength to go in, and strength to go on, and strength to go up. And it always gets better. It always, as it ages. As the new wine of the Spirit, as it ages within me, it becomes more refined. It becomes better, a better vintage. More refined, more settled. More stable. But then we read that wine is frequently used as a symbol of joy. And I thought, oh, but Christ's love is the joy that you gotta have. Do you ever have the joy of the Lord? Friday night we were in here and we had the joy of the Lord fall. Yeah, it fell. It started real little. It was a little ripple of a laugh. And then another one like, and pretty soon the whole place was a symphony of joy. I don't know how it happened, but I can't take credit for it. It was the Spirit of Joy dropped in. Hi, I'm the Spirit of Joy. Huh? And you're getting it again. I'm just about done. Maybe you had enough joy for one day, huh? Oh, but it's a joy. It's a stimulant. You ever been stimulated? Woo! Used to get stimulated when I was in the world. I used to hit that 2 martini high, and I'd start to exhilarate. Start to tell him great stories and really get into self and solve several problems of the world as I kicked the olive around and, played the part and slurp, and I was climbing up the, oh man, now I'm on top of it. Oh, everybody's listening. Oh, 2 martini. Oh! And it's downhill all the way after that 2 martini high. The exhilaration doesn't last at all, but being exhilarated in the Lord, glory to God, lasts as long as you just claim it. You just say, Lord, I'm going to have it. It's mine. And just keep a screaming and a yelling and pulling on his garments. And you'll get it. You'll be able to sing, love lifted me. Love lifted me. when I was so down and out. Oh, love lifted me, oh, love lifted me. Love lifted me when I was so down and out. Oh, love lifted me. See, everybody said me when I didn't do that. And so you got lifted. Y'all, I seen your lips, they went. I tricked ya. But in the original it says in the plural, thy loves are better than wine. There are so many ways that God loves us. Think of the Christ covenant of love. Before the planets were even formed, or the foundation of this world, or anything, Christ loved you. Now I know I'm talking in spiritual things, but he first knew you. You're not an accident. No. You were planned. I first loved you before the foundation of the world was even founded. I knew you, the Bible says. What a wonderful love. Infinite. Unabounding. Everlasting. Woo-hoo. And what a forbearing love, I thought. Love looked down when you were born and seen this little baby down there. All disorganized and everything. And you know what you were full of? Sin. And God says, I love that little body full of sin. I died for it. Well, did you think your baby was not a sinner? Sinner. Aren't you glad? Because there isn't going to be nobody getting to heaven unless they be sinners saved by grace. Don't you want your baby to go to heaven? I'm just using you, Stu, because you happen to be sitting there. Ooh, are you hearing this today? A Christ love that says, I'm going to bear all that little one's sin. I'm going to take him all the way through. No one is going to snatch him out of the Father's hands. They have been promised to me, and they are mine, and I'm going to keep them, and I'm going to bring them in, and I'm going to cause them to be righteous in me. The love that heard us profanely speak and go out and do all manner of sin goes on and on and on and on and on and on. And then in closing here, it's a personal love. It's a personal thing between you and Jesus. Personal. The Lord is dealing with me on personal things. How many in here the Lord has you dealing with you on personal things? I won't put both my hands up. I'm going to kick my legs out to the side. Get personal, Lord. Aren't you glad that we serve a personal God? Oh, the instant that we are cleansed by His blood, He starts to get personal. You got to stop this and stop that and do this. And not, nope. And now He's getting personal, huh? The minute you're saved, your deliverance starts. The day that you get saved, your deliverance starts. Well, you're aware of it. You're aware of it. Your deliverance starts, and it starts to happen the day that you are saved. You know what, folks? You're going to go on being delivered until the day you die. You are. You're going to be delivered every day. And just by the time you think you're a spiritual giant, God, you've gone so high and mighty and powerful in the Lord. You're going to be about this tall. Folks are going to say, well, what happened to him?
Down here. No, don't step on me. I'm over here. Oh, look out, look out.
You scurry behind a chair. I think I heard Pastor Paul someplace.
Yeah, down here. Come on, grace, have mercy on me. I've been humbled. No, don't step on me.
I won't tell you what happened. I'll leave that to your imaginations. Well, that's the truth, isn't it? No matter how small you get, God still can see you. No matter how down in your spirit you are, love can lift you up, and love will lift you up. God wants to lift you up, but all you have to do is say, Lord, lift me up, lift me up. Even though you've grieved him many, many times. I said it, I have to say it again here in closing. When you start to go through your deliverances, don't lay down. Stay on your feet. Roll, it says, with the punches. Roll with the punches. A lot of times what we want to do... Now, I was going, and I'll say this, but you heard this Friday, but I was going through a deliverance whilst I was talking to city officials and all these people, and I was going through a real traumatic deliverance, and I knew what was going on. Now, what would have happened if I would have laid down, had all them dignitaries there, and I would have laid down, and I say, well, what's wrong with you? I say, I'm going through a deliverance! Ain't you got eyes? Huh? A lot of folks do that. They lay right down. The only way that you are delivered out of this present evil world is to walk out on it. Walk out on that spirit of heaviness. Put on the garment of praise, it says in the Bible, and you have to keep on it going, and you get off the phone and stop bawling your eyes out. And just keep right on going. Just keep right on walking and talking and doing. And you know what? You'll forget all about that thing and you'll say, I got delivered somewhere along the road. I don't know what happened. Well, it doesn't matter now. Did you ever go through something and it was a traumatic thing the day before and you wake up in the morning, you know you've been delivered because you wake up and it's all bright and a bird. And you aren't thinking about that thing. You've been thinking about it for months. And all of a sudden, it's gone. But you kept on going to work. You kept on, putting up with your husband or whatever. And you kept on putting up with your boss and things that were happening with your children and all that. And you kept right on and keeping on. And you know what? You don't even know when it happened. But you just obeyed God and you kept on. And you keep on the walk the same way. And you're delivered as you just keep right on. You lay down and you're going to be on point zero. And you just stay there, a lump of flesh. Did you understand that now? And so even now, if you're feeling melancholy and you're feeling like crying, God, that's me. Get up, me. That's how I felt. And this was just last week. I felt like a dying lump. And I said to myself, I had to counsel with myself because these guys weren't going to counsel with me because I wasn't going to let them in on what was going on. And so I counseled with myself and I said, you are going through a deliverance and your heart is aching and you feel frumpy and you feel out of sorts and you don't feel like talking to anybody and you have to act like you know what's going on. You don't know nothing. And I'm standing there and like I said, I have to say this again today. I said, God, I'm hearing myself talk. And they said something and I come up with a whole lot of wisdom and I talked and I thought, and it was a drone in my ears, and I got all done, and I thought, did it come out right? But I just kept right on going. It must have came out right. The deal is still on. Maybe God deafened their ears, I don't know. And maybe on the other hand, they were dumber than I was. Doesn't matter. God's the one that took me through it. Isn't that great? It was just like I was a droning. Mumble, 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 mumble. Mumble, 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 mumble. And it was echoing. And I could have turned it off, but I was saying, you know, I'm going through a deliverance right here. And by the Lord's power, I'm going to go through. And I was driving back from St. Paul, and all of a sudden something busted. And I was into a whole brand new thing. You know what was happening? I was entering a brand new trial, but I didn't recognize it because, see, it was brand new yet, and I was walking in. You come out of this darkness and you come into the light and you can't see yet. Huh? And I was entering into a brand new thing. But you know something? It'll always turn out the same way when you trust in the Lord. Always. Because in those times when you think nothing's happening, everything is happening in the very darkest times of your life, that's when the light is just getting ready to shine. That's when the dawn is about to dawn. It's the darkest time. And it's so precious and it's so wonderful. You can trust in the Lord. You have to lean on your own understanding. You have to listen to a whole lot of, you know, counsel from people even. I mean, you know, there is counsel that way, but I'm saying you have to listen to all that, because the glory of God will just fill up the cab of your car, or fill up your bedroom. You know, as you're going through this thing and you determine in your heart to go through, having done all, stand. Doesn't say, having done all, lay down and die. No, doesn't say that. It says, having done all, stand. Okay, that's the end of my message today. If there's anybody in here that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior, you can have Him today. So if you're